Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
Well, markets were down this week. The Dow was off 0.8%. The S&P 500, well, yeah, we dropped 2.1% to close at 43.93. The NASDAQ, well, that was down 2.6%, and we are in correction territory. Down year-to-date 14.7%. A little bit of pain there. The 10-year trading at 2.83% on its way to 3. And the oil closed at 106 a barrel. Year-to-date up 41.4%. So still the asset class is doing best. Bonds down 7.7%. So this past week we had a shorter week. As you know, Friday was a holiday. And there was no trading going on. But inflation was the big news this week, as there were some signs that it's softening a little bit and things could get more affordable. So this past week, we had two very important inflation readings for the month of March. Those were the U.S. Consumer Price Index, also known as the CPI, and the Producer Price Index, or the PPI. And the CPI came in at 8.5% year over year. And this was in line with expectations, but it's still at a 40-year level. And the PPI, the Producer Price Index, which measures prices paid by producers to make stuff, came in at 11.2% year over year. This was the highest number on record. So, of course, as soon as that came out, I had several listeners send me texts or emails, and they were saying, hey, have you heard about these I-bonds where you can make 6 to 9%? And I said, well, yeah. And I looked at them, and sure enough, you can buy these I-bonds, inflation bonds that the Treasury put out there, $10,000 limit. You can buy them direct from the Treasury direct. And they are a reflection of inflation. And so wherever inflation is a year from now, is what you could potentially make. And it's, of course, it's a limited amount of investment. But in any event, I pointed out to them that you'd have to go through the Treasury to do that. Well, as you're thinking about inflation, and what I want to caution you about this morning is, sure, it is running hot, no doubt. These are the highest records we've seen in history on the PPI. But we're seeing some signs that inflation could peak in the weeks ahead. And what do I mean by that? Well, a big makeup of this is, of course, the price of oil. And as you know, gas and oil was very high in March. In fact, we were talking about that. It was 108. But right now, the average price for April has started to come down. It's sitting at 99. So if this trend continues, we could see lower headline CPI in the next couple months, and that would be a symbol that inflation is starting to come down. Now, the other big component of inflation that makes up about a third of the CPI basket is shelter. And as you know, home prices and rents have increased as inflation has risen. But part of that was due to the housing supply. There was a shortage of housing. And this has caused prices to rise, especially affordable housing. And with all the surplus that was floating around, money was flowing towards real estate. Well, there's something that's occurring right now. Mortgage rates. Mortgage rates, the 30-year mortgage rate has gone up quite a bit from where it was. And so as a result of that, I think you're going to start to see prices come down, which again, overall, will start to soften up inflation. So I think you're going to start to see inflation start to come down later this year. And historically, as inflation starts to move from a peak, if this is certainly the peak, to the bottom, this usually takes about 2 to 3 years steadily for it to happen. It doesn't happen just overnight, just like interest rates do. It takes some time. So I don't think we're going to get back to 2% core inflation for any time in the immediate future, but the direction of travel should be lower. And so what does that mean for your money, especially for bonds? Well, I'm going to say this morning, I think the worst could be behind us when it comes to bonds. I think the bond market has gone through an adjustment this first quarter, and they've priced in what they think is an aggressive Fed and the tightening cycle we've been hearing about. And this was most notable as I was looking this past week at the two-year treasury. Now, as you remember last week, we were talking about two-year treasuries and yields were around 2.5%. And we've seen the range in two-year treasuries just this first quarter go from 0.73%. I mean, if you gave your money to the treasury for 2 years, you'd get 0.73% starting at the year. Went all the way up to 2.52%. And this past week, we saw it moderate back a little bit to 2.45. So we're seeing yields, which reflect the future, start to come back a little bit. On the short end. Now, on the longer end, the 10-year, like I said at the start, that's around a little over 2.8 now. And I don't think it's unlikely for the 10-year to get to 3% this year. So if you're borrowing money or looking at the 10-year as a benchmark for yourself, 3% is not out of line. And it could even go higher than that. But I don't think substantially higher from there. Because, again, as inflation starts to moderate, rates will calm down a little bit. And this could provide you an opportunity right now to diversify or even rebalance your bond positions. And so be on the lookout for that. Now, what else are we watching? Well, this past week was the kickoff of the first quarter earnings season. And this is going to be critically important to your equity portfolio. So for the S&P 500, earnings season has officially kicked off. And as you know, usually the big banks talk first. And so we saw JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs. And the message across the board is seeming to be right now what I would call cautious optimism. What does that mean? Well, JP Morgan said they were going to raise their credit reserves. Now, when banks do that, they think that the default rates, which right now are super low because people have cash, they do that because they think that the default rates are going to rise. And JP Morgan admitted on the call that it was a preemptive move if the economy starts to slow down a little bit. Now, contrary to this, where the optimism comes in is Delta. Now, I don't know if you've been out traveling or trying to get an airline ticket or stay at a hotel or go to a restaurant. What's going on? They're packed. You can't get in. You can't get a seat. They cost so much money. These hotels are filled. I mean, it's tough right now. So Delta reported that they're seeing strong demand, obviously, for seats on their planes. And they forecasted a return to get this pre-2019 levels of activity. So things seem to be back in line for the travel industry. And this is the dichotomy I'm seeing right now in the economy. Right now, things seem to be fine. The economy is saying things are strong, consumer spending solid, unemployment's low, but the Fed tightening really hasn't started in a meaningful way. And you now have a major bank, increasing credit reserves, which shows, really, if you read it, concern about future growth. Maybe not right now, but next months, quarters ahead. So we got to keep our eye on this. What's going to happen over, I'd say, the next 2 weeks? Next 2 weeks are going to be critical as we look at what companies are saying about their overall earnings and their projections. Now, why is that? Because it ties directly into the price of your stocks, especially on the S&P 500. And here's what I mean. The S&P 500 right now is, remember, I always say this, markets are trading based on expectations. Where are things going? And right now, the expectations for 2022 are $225 a share of earnings. The 2023 expectations are $243. Now, as earnings season start to come around here, we're going to be listening closely to what they say, because if expectations are not intact, if there's a slowdown, if there's a drop, don't be surprised to see stocks drop. And I know this past week we saw stocks come down a little bit, and it could be as a result of comments like what JP Morgan was saying. On the other hand, if Delta and that sort of commentary continues and it's strong and things look really, really good and it just continues And we see that the 2023 earnings sit around 243. Well, I think this could set up a near-term rally as investors start to think about the value of where things could be trading in 2023. In that instance, you could see the S&P 500 very easily get to 4738. And that's a pretty big move from where we are right now. So, you know, I'm just a little skeptical in the back of my mind because I'm seeing a slowdown in activity. I know the Fed's going to be raising rates. I'm expecting their 50 basis point raise coming in May. In fact, this past week, the probability of that happening, according to the experts, was 91%. So it's very likely that that's going to happen. And as a result of more raises, things just slow down. It's just the way it is. I don't think there's going to be a recession in 2022. I'm going to tell you that right now. I don't see that. I see volatility continuing. Like this past week, we saw the market coming down a little bit, but this could be some upside, particularly if the next couple of weeks look good with earnings. And so just, you know, anytime you get a pullback like now, maybe use that as an opportunity to diversify your equity portfolio, your bond portfolio, and continue to focus on those defensive and value parts of the market. I'm going to talk more about this next week in my State of the Union address. If you're not aware of that, you can contact us. We'll get you on the list to listen to that. I'll get into all the detail on the equity returns, where I think things are going. But I still think overall equities are going to outpace inflation over time. And you want to be involved in defensive and value like healthcare, consumer staples, and industrials. And right now I'm preferring large cap over small cap. I do have some small cap, but large cap is dominating the portfolio. Now next week, I'm going to be looking at housing starts to get more signal on the real estate market and also the PMI index, which again is another level of inflation measure.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.